Welcome to Balls in a Sleeve podcast. I'm Sam Anderson. I'm with Steve Johnston. PGA Advanced?
Correct.
Perfect. Don't know, I've just pressed record. See what happens now.
Are we on?
We're on.
Excellent. How are you?
I'm no bad, you?
Good. Week three of lockdown.
Aye. Week three.
Deary me, eh?
Bonuses. I've no went up 0.1. 3 weeks.
Everyone else is still the same as well, though.
I only care about me on the golf course, nobody else.
You're quite right, absolutely. So what's your last couple of weeks been up to? We've not done one for a couple of weeks, but what have you been doing with yourself?
I've been chocker, mate. I've just been rushed off my feet with housework shite. You were just telling me before I pressed record that you washed every window yesterday.
I washed all the windows in the house, just through boredom.
So,
the house is twice as light as it was before.
That's how there's a bigger shine on your heat coming through the windy there.
It's cool, isn't it? you've shaved all the hair off.
Yeah, apart from my chin, look at my chin, I'm growing a beard.
The beauty of your hair is yours will grow back.
Yep. I'm going for the Brad Pitt look out of Fight Club. I've been working on the kettlebells.
Alright, you just keep working on them, I can take a while.
What have I been up to? Just trying to keep busy. Keeping the head busy, keeping Beth busy, trying to stay out the roadie people. Just dotting about. It's scary. It's FaceTime. We're lucky now with the sort of technology we've got, you can still speak and see people, but it's still not the same as having social contact. And I'm a hugger. Noel's a hugger. We're missing hugs.
We need the hugs.
It's
this FaceTime and Messenger and things, it's brilliant because you can see people and speak to people every day. But then, when you FaceTime somebody every day, you've nothing to say to them because you've done nothing since yesterday.
You can't. It's like we would speak most days.
Yeah.
But just now we're every two or three or 3 or 4 days because what did you do yesterday? Fuck all.
Exactly the same as I plan on doing tomorrow.
Yeah. It's now you know how Bill Murray felt on Groundhog Day.
That's right, exactly. It's just over and over and over again. But it's for a good reason and we have to do it. I mean, there's some people not adhering to it though.
There's a few dicks going about in pee-balls on bikes.
You said that,
They're almost close to getting called C-bombs on the podcast.
Are they?
I guess
it's the side of things that if they do, I mean, if they get injured, I mean, the last place you want to go is a hospital just now, so I mean, why put yourself at risk with that, you know?
Totally.
Wander about, just stay safe as possible.
But I've got the bike set, I had the bike out in the garden yesterday, and I took the walk bike out in the front garden, sat on that for now 45 minutes, perfect.
Brilliant.
Wee kettlebells, punch bag, skipping rope, dartboard.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to do these bucket challenges. Learning a few tricks on Final Cut Pro, which is good. Video editing software. So that works alright. So we're going to try that. Can maybe even make your swing look better.
I need a good software for that. I feel like that's been made yet. There's no software out there that'll do that.
What about yourself?
They're similar to you. I mean, obviously, there's so restricted what you can do. Lloyd and I, we've been out running pretty much every day for 3 weeks. We've done a sort of between three and four and a half mile trek every day, just to keep fit, something to do. Played a lot of football in the garden with the wee man, a lot of chipping about the golf balls, and making videos for YouTube in the garden.
Good. So you moved the studio to the garden?
Pretty much, just like the rest of the YouTube fraternity have. I suppose you have to, it's just to fill in time. Been working a bit on Eureka website as well. I've hopefully got something new coming on that, but I'll hold that off just now. So just doing that. So staying up late at night doing silly things. It's just drinking too much beer as well.
Oh, this could be a day just starting early. I've tried not to. You know I like whiskey anyway, but my whiskey consumption has just went fucking right through the roof. I'm going to have to look at online delivery from a brew. See what I should have done? I should have thought about it. But when we knew it was going to happen, we should have drove to Islay or Arran and got locked up there.
We should have. That'd been brilliant. Off we go, take a water jug and we're on.
Yeah, that's it. Just 12 weeks lock in there, I would be fine. There's a golf course at the back of one of the, it'd be fine. Although you're not allowed on the golf course, but we could get a net up back of the distillery, it'd be fine.
Alright. We've placed a lockdown in a distillery. How's your golf? You've been playing in the garden. You've hit some balls. What you've been
looking I've at? Actually no hit that many balls. I had it set up last week for Beth. Beth had it out and hitting balls in the garden. I hit a few.
Uh-huh.
I've managed to acquire for our challenge, which I've no tried yet because I'm still in the car, a left-handed set of golf clubs.
You said that, yeah, you told me that last week. That sounded frightening.
You said that you were going to try and swing a left-handed golf club, so the challenge is on. I might start today after this.
I can hit, so before lockdown, I was hitting 7-iron about 120 yards, left-handed. But it's the only club I've got. I've not got a driver in to try. I think I'd probably find it hard to control driver, but I was really trying to get it with a 7-iron. I was doing well. I felt as I was making progression. I thought, this is it. Brilliant. And then, of course, bang, lockdown.
Did you bring the 7-iron with you?
I've got it at home here, yeah.
That's fine. You've been hitting it in the net?
No, yeah. I'm scared that it's a shank one.
Shank I left those fine because you've not got a neighbour that way.
I do.
Oh, well, you do.
She's never in her garden anyway, so it's fine. I'll just, right, we'll give it a go.
You'd only hit the fence, it'd be fine. Ricochet back into your windies.
I think I'm scared it comes back and hits me, that's right.
But it's just trying to fill your time. But in the garden, I think that's what we're going to talk about this week. Obviously, I've got...
Talk about a drill you can do in the garden or something you can do in the garden when you are golfing at a net and then maybe some putting indoors or something. Yeah.
Because I think it links to, I can't remember which episode it was, the one we talked about tech. It's a good time to actually buy some tech for using in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Swing Caddy or the Sky Pro or something that can... Or even just using your video. I think that's what we decided. Video was best. It's recording your swing so you can watch it because you don't know where the ball goes when it hits the net.
Yeah.
There's no sort of evidence. Although you're lucky, you've got flight scope, eh?
Batman.
What's that, G-Wop?
Flight scope.
You're a track man.
2020.
I wish it wasn't.
Flight scope is very good, though.
But something like that in the garden. But it's thinking about things that you can do as well. You obviously see a lot of chipping competitions where folk are putting step ladders out and trying to chip different things off of steps, etc.
Yeah.
And it's just about having fun and keeping it swinging, I suppose. I did speak to Kirsty Sinclair today, who's a sports physio.
Uh-huh.
And she's maybe interested in coming on and looking at exercises for golf that you could do in the garden.
Right, okay.
Coming on to speak to us. Rather than it being more about the swing side, it's about the exercises you could do to maintain it for people that don't have the tech or maybe even a back garden, stuff you could do in the house.
Uh-huh.
Exercises, working different muscles and how it would help hopefully help your golf.
And she could explain that over the podcast. She could do that without...
She could, but she also has... she could also do wee videos that we could link onto the Facebook page and her Instagram page. So people could speak to her then link it onto that. She's really good. She's cured me a lot of times of the different injuries.
Is she based in Peebles?
Yes. Her studio's at Calvary Park, although she's home just now, obviously, working from home. But she's actually set up she's doing sort of home physio surgeries as well.
Uh-huh.
Which sounds, how can you do that? Because you obviously need your hands on. She says it's a bit, some people find it different, some don't. But again, it's maybe something we can look at if people are interested, getting Kirsty on for a chat.
Just another way of looking at golf, isn't it? It's another element of it. And as you say, that's great, the stuff you can dip in the house as well.
Yeah.
Because we're going to be in lockdown for a lot longer, I feel. So certainly as much information as we can do for indoor or back garden golf, absolutely.
Totally. Totally. But the back...
Sorry.
No, on you go.
I was just going to say, I've been hitting quite a lot of balls in the net in the garden. And I've been watching other videos on YouTube and people are hitting balls on Facebook and Twitter and they're all in the back garden hitting balls and it's all good stuff. And then you message them, because there's quite a lot of falling, so you message them and ask them, what are you working on? And a lot of them are just hitting balls for the sake of hitting balls just to keep swinging.
Yeah. Pointless. No proper practice.
It is not productive whatsoever. But it is, it's to keep that dream alive and to prevent boredom. And you're stroking the hair in your head there. This camera's crazy. But I can understand why they're doing that, and it's good, and it keeps them golfing, and it keeps them swinging, and it keeps the motion and the thought of golf alive, brilliant. But let's think about a way we could actually hit balls into a net that's got some sort of outcome that you can be, that becomes achievable, as opposed to, you obviously can't see the ball flight, so they need to work on something else. And I've been working heavily on strike, so that's really the only feedback you can get. If you've no video analysis and you can't see the ball flight, it should all be about strike. Yeah?
Yep.
So hitting balls into the net, they need to try and look at strike and think, okay, how can I improve strike, and what feedback, what sensations am I wanting to get of a good strike here?
Chalk.
Sorry?
Using chalk.
Not using chalk. No, good thinking though. You love a bit of chalk, eh? That's a school teacher in you, man.
Shut up. But that, but we've talked about this before, strike, because if you use the chalk, you can see the dust come up. If you strike, yeah.
Absolutely, that sort of thing. So those sort of, yeah, exactly.
Sorry, like that. Jumped in there.
No, you're fine, absolutely sound. But just the best thing I think about is when I'm working on strike in the garden, hitting balls, because I can't see the ball flight. You know whether you've hit it well, hit it thin, hit it clean, hit it perfect. But the best thing to do is at address, for a right-handed golfer, at address is concentrate on a dimple on the left side of the golf ball. So that's your target side of the golf ball.
So that's looking for a small target area again.
Mm-hmm. But on the target side of the golf ball.
Yeah.
That's going to improve strike. So when you look at that one dimple on the left-hand side of the ball from a right-handed player, when you take the club to the top of the backswing, that dimple shouldn't have moved. So that means your head's not moved, so you've stayed centred as possible. You know, if that dimple, if the glare in the dimple from the daylight becomes slightly different, then you've obviously moved. So it's trying to stay as centred as you can over top of that ball. You're about to say something. I can see you wagging your finger.
I know. I want to jump in. Because we've got plenty of time, if you're striking balls in the garden, you could colour a dimple in on 10 balls.
Absolutely.
There you go.
I do that when I'm coaching.
Yeah.
So I talk about this, and I colour a dimple in, and I place the ball perfectly for the person to hit, and they focus purely on that coloured dimple. But you're right, yeah, colouring one dimple on each ball.
Could you put a photo up on the Facebook and Twitter page for that?
Yeah, I could do that.
You could colour a dimple in. Mm-hmm. Not the one on your cheeks.
Oh.
Or your arse.
Oh, so when you focus on the left-hand side of the golf ball,
I'm letting you go.
When you focus on the left-hand side of the golf ball or that one dimple, when you get to the top of your backswing, you're now more centred over the ball. And then the body will open up to that. So when you come back down, you're now on centre or slightly left of centre. So therefore, you're going to lead with a handle of the golf club. So you're going to get forward shaft lean. You're going to get the body to turn through better because you've not moved away from the golf ball in the backswing because you've stayed on top of that one coloured in dimple. And that will improve strike. But another way you could think about that would be the sensation of hitting balls off the beach. So you hit ball turf strike, ball sand, or ball at fairway bunker. All these sensations to feel you're hitting the ball before the turf, before the sand. So if you stay centred over the left-hand side of the ball, that left dimple, you'll get the forward shaft in, you'll get the body opening up, and that way you'll get good strike, and you'll feel it immediately. Because we can't assess ball flight because we're hitting into a net.
Mm-hmm.
Assessing strike from a feedback point of view, from the player point of view, at least you're trying something. And you can still get there and hit 100 balls and just smash them into the net all you want, but just having that little bit of productivity in that practice is going to, at least you're trying to achieve something, as opposed to just whacking balls to try and kill this boredom.
Totally. Because it's good to get all swinging, etc., but you need a focus.
Aye, absolutely.
And I think that's a good one for folk to look at. Totally.
A structured plan, aye, absolutely. So that was the chat. That's really just a way to put into product some productive when you're out there hitting balls in the net. Aye. Simple.
The idea with the chalk, though, is that we chalk an area, put your ball on it so that you know that you're actually striking down on the ball if the chalk dust comes up.
Aye, so
you're compressing.
Again. Aye, so draw a wee chalk box on your net, on your mat, sorry, and then place the ball. But place the ball about two ball widths behind the chalk box.
Mm.
So that way you're hitting ball, then you're taking the chalk, because you can still clip it off the top. If the ball's too close to the chalk, you can still clip it off the top and see the dust come up.
Yeah.
So make sure there's a good two balls width between... Oh, where are we going? Make sure there's a couple of balls width from the chalk and your object ball that you're hitting. And that way you can see a good feedback from the dust coming up, so you're getting ball in turf strike. All these things, I mean, just anything like that to make it productive when you're outdoors Then he just hit balls for the sake of it. It's not great.
No, totally. Need a focus.
Mm-hmm.
But the chipping one's good because you could chip in anything. That gives you a focus.
Chipping is good, and that's working on striking. I mean, and then play around with that. I've been in the back garden. So you guys, same, I've got Astro Turf in the back garden. And I've been doing what John Ram does. John Ram opens the face up, lowers the hands, and then puts the hand on forward. And Patrick Reed does it as well. And you can see how the ball chips.
But he normally has a few swipes at first before he hits it.
Well, Patrick will prefer the lie first.
Yeah.
But even just mucking around with that, I've found that there's a certain way I can do it using more of the heel of the golf club coming in there, and I can get the ball really checking up. And then the second bounce almost stops dead. And that's just from playing around in the garden, just mucking about, rather than necessarily going for a basket or trying to hit some sort of target, just working on strike and seeing how the ball reacts when it lands. It's fascinating.
Have you thinned any?
I've thinned a few, aye, off the back step and come back, hit the patio window. Blame Lloyd every time. Lloyd, stop that.
good. What about putting? You've been putting?
Been indoors, been putting some putting. I've got my putting lunch monitor ready to go. I've not used it yet, but certainly I have been putting. That everyone's been doing that. Eh? I mean, that's the indoor drill. Advice for that would be there's probably four points to really look at when you're putting indoors. The two points are first two points would be they kind of roll into one. So two things that you don't want to move when you putt are your knees and your head. Okay, once your knees start moving, it's going to go a chain up the body, so the head's going to move. So you want to try and keep the body as still as possible by looking at your knees when you address the golf ball. So address the ball, but in your peripheral vision, you can see your knees, be aware of what they're doing. And if they're staying still, by you looking at your knees, it's going to keep the head still as well. So it kind of knocks on each other. So when you're out putting on the golf course, when your knees and head are still, it all becomes shoulder action, rather than the bottom half coming through. You see so many people putting at the practice game with a long putt, and they follow through, they're almost on their right toe, following through as if they're trying to hit this thing like 140 yards.
I'm stepping into it.
Absolutely. What are you doing, man? You're fucking putting the ball. Here's the finesse. So keeping the head and the knees still when you're putting indoors, absolutely, or anywhere, but just these little things you can look at. You can put your head against the wall when you're putting to keep it still, and then you'll see how your knees stay still as well.
I think it's breaking up as well. It's one of the, obviously, Noel, I'm still in the chat with Noel, and I'll just find it here. He set a target for our group, and it is, if I can find it,
mm-hmm.
Okay, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 12 feet, 10 putts from each distance, and you have to hold them all or you go back to the start.
I know, that's done those drills way back in the day, they're hard work.
Inside. And the girl that he's working with did it and sent us a video. So it's 80 putts dropped in a row.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard.
Do you know it's so sore in your back?
I was just about to say that.
It's like, honestly, it's like waterboard therapy, man. Absolutely brutal.
I've been doing that with tenants this week. Is that all right?
That's fine. That's perfectly acceptable, mate.
I seem to be able to handle that better than water. I'll tell you a funny story.
Uh-huh.
Good story. When I was younger in the pub in Dundee.
Oh no.
Sorry, it's a clean one. Old boy challenges one of the mates to drink 6 pints of lager quicker. He'll drink 6 pints of Tennent's quicker than the young boy could drink 6 pints of water.
Mm-hmm.
We're like going, can you think you can down water quite quickly, eh?
Yeah.
Right, okay. So the old boy gets his first pint up. Just sips, puts it down. The mate's rattled, first pint of water, second pint of water, halfway through his third pint, getting a wee bit bagged up, all by still sipping his first pint. Again, whoever loses has to pay for it. The body can't handle 6 pints of water.
No.
After, I think it was, I'm sure it was 6 pints, or it was either 6 or 7 pints, he shut up, he started getting cold, shivery, he just couldn't do it, like in a row. You need to lose it. So the old boy got 6 pints bought for him.
Just sit
it's one of these things that you do in the pub in Dundee, it's fine.
There's no thing about hydration.
But the body can't handle that much water without obviously losing it first. You obviously got to take so much water in, but you need to lose it to take it.
Absolutely.
Never knew that.
No, I never knew that.
No.
That's interesting.
Hopefully. Just throw that in there. There we go. Wee anecdote for you. We're getting high tech here. Wee anecdotes.
Let's get back in the lager.
I'm going to start early today.
I know.
No, just a couple. I might do a wee bit of exercise first. But my body, I've got my rower back as well. Oh, rowing's killing me. I'm going the concept too. Oh, it's so hard. I'd say it. I said this to someone the other week. Rowing 2K in a race is harder than doing an Ironman triathlon.
Oh, you said that?
Mm-hmm. Was it you said it?
It was me, yeah.
And folk are looking at you going, how, like, race for 10 hours or I could row for 7 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's harder to row for the 7 minutes eyeballs out than it is to race for 10 hours.
Right. Because it's constant. When you said that, it's like cycling and jogging.
Yeah.
You go cycling for 2 hours and it's good stuff because you get a freewheel. You do get a small break there and then. But if you go jogging for 40 minutes, you're shattered because there's no stopping. If you freewheel when you stop, you've got to use energy to get going again. Whereas the bike's got momentum. But the rower's the same. If you stop rowing, that's you.
Handle down.
You need to get rowing again.
Honestly, I felt I'd done 2K warm-up then. Went into 500 metre reps, trying to hold 145. I felt sick after 4. I had to get off, lie in the garden and ventilate. It's like watching that hub thing.
You're ventilating now.
You've seen me ventilating. We shared the room in La Manga.
Alright. YouTube golf day as well. That's another day.
Are we going back to putting?
Aye, because I've not finished my chat.
Well, so, you know.
I had 4 points. This is important.
Oh, sorry.
It's not really that important, but we'll go for it now.
What was the first point?
Somebody's going to turn around and go, where's the other 2 points? First 2 points were knees and head.
Knees and head. Shoulders. Toes.
third point, you're funny.
Sorry.
Third thing to think about when you're practicing your putting indoors is grip pressure. Okay, so grip pressure being the same on both hands. And it's not what you're thinking.
I've had a lot of practice that day over the last 3 weeks. Oh, sorry.
So, head, knees, grip pressure, right? Fourth thing, your putting's brilliant. You do all this anyway.
I know. Subconsciously.
No, unconsciously. Fourth thing, when you're putting indoors, so we're putting indoors, we're bored, we're locked down. Fourth thing is a little bit more weight in your left foot.
Yeah.
A little bit more weight in your left foot. Do you know the reason for that?
No.
The reason for that is, do you ever take your putter back and it wavers? Doesn't he go straight back and straight through?
Yeah.
Right. So Tiger does this as well. Tiger, you'll see his stance is quite close together. He's got a lot of weight, or not a lot of weight, but more weight favouring his left foot, and that prevents the club head from wavering on the way back. So it keeps the backswing shorter, and then it's easier to pull the putter through because your weight's slightly centred over again the left side of the golf ball or the left dimple.
Yeah.
We talked before about the ball position being between your left cheek or on your left cheek. So all that left favouring, that stops the club wavering on the way back. So it's amazing it's all linked too.
Yeah, because you're on about that wavering. I never realised it was until I used the swing caddy, because you can put it onto your putter. Then it records obviously the back movement and the follow through, and you can see how far you are off the actual line. When it goes outside, or it gives you the diagram and shows you your putting line. Never even realised it, because it's hard to see with the eye, because you're obviously concentrating on the ball.
Yeah,
you're not sort of looking at your putter. But it was interesting. But
just using the left side, so that's linked. So you're practicing the garden, using left side of the golf ball, practicing the putting, left side of the golf ball. It's all linked. It's all about getting compression, because there's a slight bit of compression when you putt. You want to feel a little bit of pressure on the hand in the back of the shaft when you're pushing that through. You want to feel that slight bit of lag even when you putt. And if you've got an evenly balanced stance at putting, then it's allowing it to waver. You can go one way or the other way. Whereas if it's slightly favoured left side, then your left side dominant, and therefore you're hitting down the back of the ball a little bit more. But the ball position being slightly further forward than your centre is allowing the angle of attack to be natural or shallower again. So it's all these little things. They're all linked together. You look lost, mate.
No, I'm just impressed. You've done your homework.
No, I just think of it when I was putting the house. I was thinking, buying the putt and just to kill time, or are we doing something that's actually worthwhile when you go back on the golf course?
Yeah.
It's not very, you could sit in the house and you could do, you could putt 10,000 putts over the space of 2 weeks and then go golfing and learn nothing. Or you could work on something every time you're doing one putt, and then just when you go on the golf course, at least you've taken it from the house to the golf course and you've not wasted those 10,000 putts.
Yeah. So we've give listeners two today. Dimple. Mm-hmm. Colour a dimple in on your ball. For
left-hand ball, yep.
Yep. And putting, well, you gave them 4 points for putting.
Mm-hmm. Bring that ball in the house afterwards. Use that one for putting.
Yeah.
So use a dimple on the left and be centred over the left of the ball, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Good.
Here you are.
Hey, that's covered 25 minutes. That's all right. We can now have 5 minutes banter. But it is, as you say, you need proper practice, because I've been in the garden when I've no, and you just hit balls and you're not concentrating, you're just swinging.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pointless. Like we've said that since we've started back with the coaching, it's, you've always got to have a focus and be productive. I never go up the range and sort of just buy a basket and go up the range and just hit them.
No.
Unless it's before a round. That's just loosening off. I'm trying not to think of any swing mechanics, it's just getting the body loose. But if you go up on a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night, you're working on something that's a focus. It should be the same in the garden. And I think, although you said you've got 100 balls, if you buy 100 balls at the range, hit 100 shots in the garden, I only ever buy, is it 40 we get in the bucket?
Yeah.
I only ever hit 40. And generally when I get to 30, I'm done. But right. And people are going, oh, that's not a lot. But you think about the shots you hit on a golf course, you only ever should be only ever hitting, for me anyway, I should only hit 50 shots max.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially, that's included. 25, 26 putts, 76. Jobs are
good. Jobs are good. You're absolutely right. Absolutely. I try to tell people to use every third ball as their object ball when they're up practicing. So if they're hitting 7-iron and they're working on technique, then hit 1 7-iron. And if it's gone left, then rather than drag another ball over and just play an anti-left shot, thinking they've cured it, their next ball has to be a wee wedge 10 yards, then another wee wedge about 15 yards, then back onto 7-iron.
Yeah, yeah.
So not tacking to that bad shot, but 7-iron to hit. Hit that 7-iron, might cure it perfectly and think, dying to hit another one. No, you've got two little wedges to play first. So play another little wedge, then another wedge, then another 7-iron. So 30 balls, only 10 of them are productive.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can gauge that. So that you've got 30 balls, 10 are productive, you've hit 8 of them really, really well, 80% today, perfect, move on.
Could maybe we should try this and send it up. Set the net up,
mm-hmm.
Set your chipping up, set your putting up. So you hit a ball, you chip, then you go in the house and putt. Hit a ball, chip, go in the house and putt. So you're walking around it all, because it's more like a round rather than just standing, as you're saying, hitting ball after ball after ball. It's having the seat outside, sitting drinking your cup of tea, speaking to someone, then go up and hitting it again.
Right.
Breaking it up, rather than getting it done in 30 minutes.
Close the bread. Big fix.
Shh.
Sorry.
You're in the studio.
Oh.
So garden practice.
So that's it. So you're right. You could hit shot, wander about, and then play your chip, and then your putt. But absolutely. It's, again, back to being productive. Brilliant.
Uh-huh.
It's just rather hitting ball after ball. It's good to do that. Perfect.
Good. What's on this week then? What you got planned?
Oh, loads. Absolutely loads. I need to go out and back to the windows again and give them a good clean. This week, so I'm going to work on Eureka Golf Swing website. There's a wee addition that's going to go into that. I'm going to work on that this week. And YouTube videos as well. I've got a couple of things to do in the garden for that. But really, mate, that's it. That is it. Yourself, anything at all? Just
same old, because it's actually the holiday week, so I've even got classes for the next 2 weeks. So it's just chilling, doing a bit of reading. It's good. Hopefully the sun comes out, get in the garden again.
Absolutely. We'll get a wee chat during the week and we'll get some content for next week's podcast and we'll roll it from there.
Maybe get John in. We were supposed to get John in, but I never spoke to him about the bikes we cyclists for a bit of fun one.
Right.
Do that. Okay,
right. Sam, superb. Thanks very much.
Cheers, mate. Bye-bye.
Cheers, mate. Bye.